Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, that's nice.
I like the sound of my own voice, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Drama in the title race as Arsenal and Liverpool both lose. It's Monday, 15th of April. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
My goodness, ladies and gentlemen, what a weekend it was. Mm. We're back together to reconvene and pick out the bones and chew the fat.
Oh.
And
what are you going to do with the bones? Make a soup? You got a soup going.
Yeah, but you'd take them out before you serve the soup.
True.
Otherwise, it'll be an Indiana Jones Temple of Doom kind of situation, Pete.
Well, yeah, indeed.
Jim Campbell, I want to go straight in with highlights of the weekend. Guessing you're not going to choose that lovely little Ollie Watkins dinker.
No, I'm not. Funnily enough, it is Midlands based though.
Okay.
I'm going to go for Morgan Gibbs-White setting fire to his relationship with the Wolves fans.
Yeah.
In
absolutely
possibly the most extreme example of definitely celebrating against your own club that we've seen this season.
Like,
absolutely
really purposely.
Amazing. Yeah, just really like, get fucked you lot. Just really. Yeah. Just really going for it. I'm not actually...
A youth career that was 9 years long.
Yeah.
Well, he did play a fair few times for Wolves.
68 times.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm on the wiki.
Exactly. I'm clearly
a fair few.
There's context I'm missing that I'm happy to go without.
Yes.
Because it's far funnier if I don't know.
Mm.
But it was fantastic. And then him and Mateus Cunha kind of... not quite having a spat, Cunha kind of doing Gibbs White celebration when he scored, and the two of them appearing to be like the absolute best of friends after the game, despite the fact I don't believe they've played together. They must just know each other from the area, which is odd to me.
Morgan Anthony Gibbs White, I'm on the Wikipedia, was born in Stafford. Like, he just hates his town. He hates the people who live in it. He hates his previous football team.
Mm-hmm.
What is this all about? I love it.
I'm sure Wolves fans are going, oh, it's because of this. But
I'm sure.
But what I love, though, is the fact that, as you say, it was really premeditated. The way he kind of goes to celebrate with the Forest fans, and then he goes, no, I'm not going to celebrate with you. I'm going to mug this
you off.
Like, it was so like, give me all the bridges and I'll burn them all with
baddie.
Maybe they've been giving him some stick during the game or in
previous
meetings. I'm sure it's related to that. But like I say, I'm sure someone will fill me in where I'm sat right now, knowing nothing. It's
delicious.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Mm. Wonderful stuff. Peter.
Well, you mentioned Indiana Jones earlier.
I did, yeah.
At the Saudi Super Cup final lashed an Al Ittihad player with a whip. With a whip.
This sounds exaggerated.
I can't bring a pint to the
not.
Ground. I can't bring my Walkman to the ground.
No.
And that guy's allowed a whip. Beautiful.
Did he park his horse outside?
Didn't technically invade the pitch, though, so it's fine.
So this was changed your tune so quickly.
It's a perfect hooligans...
You're all for this sort of stuff now, aren't
it's
you?
It's a perfect hooligans tool, because you're not entering the field of play, so you're not going to get a banning order, and just absolutely whipping people from a few metres away.
Yeah, so the player...
Yeah.
During this high profile Saudi Arabian football match.
Mm.
Does he go over and throw water at the fans?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's an argument to say that the player was involved in a fracas, but the man.
He brought a glass of water to a whip fight.
He did. Indeed,
the whip is
mightier
than the cup.
Yeah. I mean, I just want to see more of that. When I was in there.
You want to see more of that?
I want to see more of this.
I think you're in the right place, mate.
When I was in Zimbabwe doing some charity work, don't want to talk about it. A man showed me his elephant whip, and that was about the size of a limo.
Did you run off and go chase me to see what you do?
Just the noise it made was beautiful. I just want someone to bring an elephant whip to. I don't think that's an actual thing. A man just had a long whip, and he said it was an elephant whip.
Maybe the length of the whip.
Elephant size
determines what animal you're going to use.
The length of
it
a trunk.
Jason Tindall with one to motivate anyone.
Beautiful. Well, he's not allowed in the technical area when the manager's in there. So yeah.
What other traditional Saudi practices do you like now?
Let's move on. But yeah, good vibes. They just do things right out there, don't they? They just do things right.
Is that a new watch?
We'll bring it in here. Tea leaves.
Oh yeah, the Arsenal and the Fulham fan. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
He was born in Essex.
Oh dear.
I know what they're kind of like now.
Just don't trust new money, Jim. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
My highlight of the weekend. Well, going back to Forest v Wolves, I mean, that Cunha goal.
Yeah.
I should specify the first one.
The first one. Yeah.
Second one was a proper muddle it in. Mm. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. All right. We've delayed the inevitable enough. Let us go to the top of the Premier League, because Manchester City ended the weekend top of the league after beating Luton Town 5-1 on Saturday.
So fucking angry about it.
But, of course, the shock of the weekend really was Liverpool 0, Crystal Palace 1. Liverpool have lost consecutive games at Anfield for the first time since 2021. Pete Donaldson, last-ditch defending and missed chances were the story of that game.
It's a story of a lot of games at the top of the league, aka Arsenal. But this is Man City's transition season, and I think I'm just going to get angrier and angrier as the show goes on. Yeah. The more I think about how people are just throwing this away, but Crystal Palace, they just used their quickest players in transition just really, really well, and they just absolutely Liverpool off form. Crystal Palace were incredible. Glasner took Elise off to save him for the next game. That's how good Palace were. Yeah.
I mean, he's coming back from injury.
But... I know, but yeah, usually you would rush that player back and have him play every minute.
Well, that was the problem, though, against Brighton. I can't remember who it was against when he was.
But if you're going to use him, if you're going to overheat him, it's going to be in this match against Liverpool away from home. And. My God, they were just fantastic. They really were. They made Liverpool look very, very awful.
Well, the goal they scored was a beauty.
Yeah.
It was a lovely move, wasn't
really
it?
Really calm finish from Ezra as well. Mm. Just what a player. I mean, I feel like we're praising him every week, and so we should be, because he's just so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, and Mateta had chances as well.
Yeah, Andy Robertson got that one off the line. If that had a little bit more pace on it, that's 2-0. And then that point-blank save at the end, which you have to say, brilliant goalkeeper from Alisson, even though it's right at him, he's still got to get his hand to it.
Well, there were some great saves at both ends, really. I mean, that was maybe the pick of the bunch, although Dean Henderson would feel perhaps aggrieved.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it was remarkable there was only one goal scored in the game, especially from Liverpool's point of view. I mean, they've had 67 shots and scored twice across the last three games in all competitions. Darwin Nunes has the worst big chance conversion rate across Europe's top five leagues at 20%. He's had his criticism, and he'll have more of it because of these the last few games. But they're not scoring goals, Liverpool, of late. You know, there's so many chances. You know, you think of and those three games. You know, Manchester United, my goodness. You know, even at Atalanta, they lose 3-0. They still have loads of chances. And this one, if you're a Liverpool fan, you're a bit concerned.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I remember, you know, blips happen in seasons, right? And it's about how quickly you get over them.
Stop doing the blips at the same time, teams at the top.
Yeah,
that is
annoying. I strongly agree on that.
Yeah.
But it's surprising how blunt they've become in front of goal. And one of the other issues they have that's compounding that is they've managed to get 27 points from losing positions this season, which is amazing. That's a huge amount.
Yeah.
But going behind catches up with you eventually.
Well, I wonder if there's an element of that what you've just said there, Jim. Not a case of being found out, because they're a very good side. But you mentioned Man City are in a transitional period. Liverpool way more
I mean,
so.
Man City just won the treble, I think.
Yeah, you know. But they're changing out. They're having to change out some older players, aren't they?
There's a few that have come in, you know, Kovacic and Doku. And
a few young players coming through, I guess.
Yeah, so I understand. But Liverpool, certainly the obvious ones in transition,
yeah.
you would say. And I did wonder that, Jim, as well, that it would sort of catch up. But when you say catch up, again, that's no disrespect. It's not a case of the sort of the plucky underdog or the side, the unfancied side, who are kind of in a title race until November, December, and then just the quality of the others. Because the top of the Premier League now, you have to be immaculate if you're going to win the league. The standards that essentially Guardiola and Klopp as well have set are so ridiculously high. We've never seen this before, that you just have a couple of bad results and suddenly, woof.
Yeah, I also think, you know, winning 3-0 can take less out of you than winning 2-1 after you've gone 1-0 down and had to do it late. Like the energy reserves that takes.
This picture has been seen again and again with Liverpool this season.
And I think that's kind of caught up with them a little bit in terms of this little run where they've not been able to score and they look a little bit less like themselves. Like the Atalanta game was they looked like a different team, didn't they?
Yeah.
They've got the majority of their first team players back now as well. So perhaps
Salah's
some of them
firing,
are getting back up to speed. That's probably part of it. He's obviously not at his best because he's, you know, he needs the run that he's currently having now to get to the to that's a possibly there's some unfortunate time in there. And you know, sometimes a team just defends really, really well against you and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
Some of that Palace defending was absolutely exceptional yesterday. That clearance from Mitchell towards
the
end,
goodness,
saving Henderson from having to do anything was top class. Like really, really strong. And sometimes that just happens.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Mitchell in particular, I mean, it seemed like every time the ball had left a Liverpool foot and you thought, well, that's on its way. Mitchell was like, yeah, I'll do the goalkeeper's work for him.
It was Klein as well, getting in the way of one where you thought, surely this is a goal now.
Against his old club.
Against his old club.
Yeah, indeed. What's the last thing you want, though, if you've lost a game and an important game and you're feeling quite down? Is it a tweet from Liam Gallagher taking the piss out of you?
I don't know, Marcus. Enlighten me. Let me hear it and then I'll make a judgment.
To all you, I mean, I'll have to add the punctuation and stuff in. To all you Liverpool fans giving me verbals, I love it. Bring it on. And just remember, I'm up there with your beloved Shankly.
What, in heaven?
How am I doing, you prick?
I've won things. Your little memes won't win you trebles or a residency at Nebworth, so sit down.
A residency at Nebworth? Just confusing.
Two nights.
Just confusing.
MCFC, LG, kiss.
Fantastic.
So, somebody, to be fair, KC94 quite beautifully wrote, you sold 74 tickets on your USA tour.
I bought 73 of them.
Yeah, he has still played Nebworth, though, hasn't he?
Yeah. So,
Paul Dickoff says, no, that's what I call a Super Sunday. Thanks, Paul.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Good on him. Good on him. Yeah, it was a stunning result because on Friday when we previewed this game, I was thinking, you know, well, Palace haven't won in goodness knows how long. You know, they're not scoring that many goals. And Liverpool, despite that loss against Atalanta, you know, surely this will be a reaction from them. Da-di-da-di-da. Yeah. And you punch it in and it's a stunning result.
Well, once again, like Klopp was like, the way he reacted to the goal was like, oh, this is happening again. This happened in midweek. Why is it happening again, Jim?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Even the best teams get in periods where scoring a goal feels impossible, right?
Yeah.
And I think they're just, you know, in one of those phases now, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, we should remind everyone, they are just 2 points off Manchester City. You know, we can wax lyrical about Man City and see how wonderful they are. And of course they are.
They'll do their own waxing.
Well, they will. But Liverpool, they're still in it.
Despite
this, of course. But there is an inevitability about how everything is playing out.
Well, it's easy to make that assumption, isn't it? But we don't know that for sure.
Yeah, because of all the facts and situations and experiences we've had in the past, Jim. Yeah,
I mean,
Jim.
Liverpool go to Fulham next, which, as you know, is a disaster.
Yeah, well, they're not going
to
get anything there. They're not going to get anything there. Well, when asked if Liverpool are still in the title race, Klopp said the answer is pretty easy. If we play like that in the first half, why would we win the league? And I wonder if you get one or two sloppy results, Klopp is off at the end of the season. Right now, you would think he's now got to say, come on, lads, one last hurrah.
Yeah.
You know, the face, this
one
squad.
One last dance.
One last dance. Mm. This squad, this whole thing we have now, this is it. This is let's go out with a bang, if you see what I mean. Because I wonder if Salah will maybe leave in the summer, or I wonder if he'll, you know, the body language or something, will he fancy the new change considering how brilliant it's been under Klopp for it. You know, there's all these kind of questions.
Are the players starting to just hear those kind of opening chords from a pumping Euro dance beat from Lineker's bar? Is that what we're talking about?
Or the, on the beach.
Yeah. Are the tools loosening in their grip?
Or the crack of a Saudi down whip? I don't know. But So Klopp is, you know, he wants mentality monsters. He doesn't want mentality minions.
No.
And he's got to turn this around because we know they've got the quality. We know they can score the goals. It is now his man management and that emotional side of things.
Yeah.
He's got to get a big old grip of that and turn it around, because otherwise they'll finish the season with just the one trophy, which would be impressive, don't get me wrong. You know, winning that, obviously, I think Klopp said it was a special one. They'll always have that. But when you're going for four...
I guess the thing with the Carabao, it's great to win it, but they've celebrated it, right?
Yes,
because it's so long ago.
Exactly, exactly.
They want another one at the end.
Indeed, indeed. Elsewhere in the title, of course, Arsenal lost 2-0 at home to Aston Villa. Two fairly late goals. I say fairly late goals. It was about 8 minutes of injury time, although the fans who left on the 89th minute clearly didn't realise that. Yeah. They were the only two shots on target for Aston Villa, and that's what won them the game, Jim.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think that tells the full story of the game, though, because Ollie Watkins hit the post in the first half and was very unlucky not to score.
Tielemans' chance.
Tielemans hit the bar and the post.
Yeah, even in your dark Arsenal heart, would you kind of want to go that in?
Obviously not.
Come on!
No!
Hit him! Bar and post, Jim.
And I enjoyed that a lot because I got to see the ball hit the bar and the post, and then there wasn't a goal.
It was Harvey Elliott-esque.
It was funny that. It feels like you never see that very often, and then two in a week.
And then bang. But they don't count the shots on target.
They do not. But still, it does. What I mean by that is saying that they scored with their only two shots on target makes it sound like they weren't in the game, but they were in the game.
Yes.
It's a very frustrating missed opportunity from Arsenal. But if you look at how the game went, you just have to praise Villa.
You could spin it another way and say, well, actually, Villa beating Arsenal at the Emirates, that can happen because Villa are a good side, we know, really good side. Whereas Palace beating Liverpool at Anfield is far less likely. It's just, I think it's annoying for Arsenal that just the chronological order of it.
Don't get me wrong, I think Arsenal should have won that game. I think they should have had what it takes to navigate the challenges that Villa posed, because they were on top in the first half.
Oh, the chances in the first half.
Well, I think
Trossard's got to score. I
agree. It's a good save from Martinez, but it's too close to him.
Yeah.
He needs to put it anywhere else.
It
happens at speed. It's a difficult thing to pull off, but I agree. Like that should have been 1-0. The other chances weren't anywhere near as clear cut as that, and Arsenal did well to make a lot of them. But part of part of what made Villa so good was that they don't give you a lot of time in the box. Arsenal spent a lot of time in Villa's box, but they made sure they had to pretty much rush things quite a lot, or do something spectacular very quickly. They marshalled that very well. Their offside trap was exceptional again. They've been really good at that all season, and part of Arteta's game plans this season has all been about control and controlling the opponent. However Arsenal themselves are playing, whether they're sort of sitting a bit deeper to defend because they know that the opponents are having a moment or whatnot, just essentially being ready for lots of different styles of play within different phases of the game. But Villa managed that really well. They figured it out in the first half in particular. And then they just kind of, they shut Arsenal down really, really well. They knew a chance would come, and it comes from a sort of kind of lapses of concentration. It's hard to sort of pin on anyone with the first goal in particular. I think Saliba should be more alert to that ball rolling through, and he should get rid of it. No one's picking up Leon Bailey, and we all know what a brilliant season he's having. He's probably the most dangerous Villa player on the pitch at the moment, and perhaps Declan Rice can be a bit more aware of him. But it comes from a slightly chaotic moment. Villa capitalised on that really well. Obviously the first goal, but the second goal, I suppose, happens when a team is sort of chasing a game suddenly, but
the
it was still pretty sloppy.
The second goal to me is poor from Arsenal because it happens in the 87th minute. Mm. You've still got, you know, we know injury time, you've got loads of it. Yeah. So there's still a good 10 minutes left.
It's a very wayward ball from Jorginho, who's still getting up to speed in the game, I think. And I also think, this might be slightly harsh, but I think Emile Smith-Rowe has a lot of time to try and sort of shepherd Watkins away or do something there.
But my point about there being 10 minutes left, it's, don't... A draw is 1-0 down, and there's not that much time left. I understand push, but don't push to ridiculous levels like there's just 2 minutes left or 3 minutes. You know, just yes, you've got to go for it. And I know you know.
Treat it like it was scored in the 70th minute or something.
Exactly. I just because you've been picked off before on the break, and you know what Watkins can do, and a wonderful finish. I mean, these are all little things. First half, Arsenal should have been up at half time. There's no two ways about that. Yeah. But Villa, when they come out in the second half, Emery said, if they learned from the Manchester City game, if we just want to play deep and just try and hit them on the break without having much possession, it's going to be a long old day. And he said, we had to get possession back, and they did. And they were doing it without perhaps their first choice sort of centre midfield. I mean, Tielemans and McGinn were fantastic in the centre of the pitch. Good. We know they're quality players.
It's something else to see that arse in person.
Well, what happened, Jim? Was there, did you pop down to the dressing room?
It just kept moving.
Did it?
Whip it. Do you not think that it was just kind of Arsenal just in a situation where their most clinical finisher seems to be Kai Havertz, and even then he does most of his good stuff at international level, which is like, I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. A lot of
smashing it into the near post instead of putting it across the goal.
Well, I think a lot of that was to do with how good Villa were at shepherding those kind of angles. Yeah. Arsenal scored a lot of goals this season. They've shared them around. There was chat a few months ago about how they need a sort of clinical goal scorer. Mm-hmm. That will probably be addressed in the summer. I think Jesus is not at his best. He's not, in terms of his form. He's been talking about carrying a sort of pain in his knee and will probably have surgery again in the summer.
Right.
He's not been as good as he was last season for whatever reason. And I think that's starting to show now as well.
Mm. This whole weekend has just been a massive missed opportunity. Obviously, it
frustrating.
Has. But you're done. I'm sorry, guys. You're cooked now. Yeah, absolutely.
You think it's Manchester City
are just... They are up at 4 a.m. mining Bitcoin with Jake Humphries, and everyone else is having a little snooze.
They don't even have a chair. Let them have a comfy chair.
Exactly.
No need.
A bed of nails.
It does seem an inevitability about...
Jack Grealish is planning his fucking sesh. That's what he's doing.
May I remind you, though... Manchester, they still have to go to Craven.
They
Cottage.
Do have to they go to Craven Cottage. Cottage. The kingmakers are still at play, aren't they? So let's have a look at this. The games that City have left, they all look winnable. You've got Brighton away, Forest away, Wolves at home, Fulham away, tricky, Spurs away, West Ham at home.
Spurs
have given them trouble before, but you don't want to be relying on that. Yep. The Spurs will have a lot to play for going into the penultimate game of the season, you think. So maybe. And if they win all those games, that's a 9-game winning run, which, not many teams manage, but Man City aren't most teams.
9-game winning run is not much for
them. It doesn't seem like it's outside the realms of possibility, shall we say. So it's, you're hoping that something goes awry in all of these games and then Arsenal win every game. And Liverpool are hoping the same thing as well.
Can I say that is wonderful politician stuff if you were to spin it fully, Manchester City will have to have a 9-game winning run if they want to win the title, whereas Arsenal and Liverpool, of course, only need a 6-game winning run if they want to win the rest of their games.
You've got the top of your paintball gun caught on your jacket and all of the paintballs have fallen on the floor. You are cooked. You are done. Give it up. Everyone go on holiday. Rubbish.
Give it up.
Hateful. Hateful end of the season.
Leave on the 84th minute, shall I?
You had it.
Like the guy sat next to me.
Oi, he got it right, though. He got home before any of you.
And he probably did, yeah.
Yeah, look.
Yours is the only Craven Cottage around here.
How dare you? Why? There's only one.
I know it's named after a man, but Craven Cottage is hardly... The word Craven is like...
I know what you mean.
Yeah, but do you not think it's a bit
weird?
Cottage
softens it, doesn't it?
Well, that crib's like...
It used to be a hunting lodge,
cowardly,
man.
Cowardly, innit? Yeah, but it's like...
Animals used to die there.
Who would? Hey. Animals with a tail.
Maybe that's what it's named after. They'd chase him in there.
Yeah, you cow, you crazy little rabbits.
It's Craven Cottage, just a big abattoir.
I tell you what, there's a joke in there somewhere.
So
find it.
But this is exactly the stuff, though, that Arsenal and Liverpool have to get out of their heads. They can't be like, it's
done
now.
They got it in their heads,
it's done now. Well, yeah, they did, and they have to, both Klopp and Arteta spoke about how you react to these things being the measure of what your season's going to be. So,
get Mikel on the phone. I'll give him a little pep talk.
Yeah?
I tell you what,
that fella that cries.
Yes!
Did we talk about this? I can't remember.
Yeah, the TikTok man who cries, love him.
Unai Emery.
There's also another maniac in sitting in his Range Rover doing inspirational... Sort of like,
oh, you, I've seen this.
I've
one
seen
as
like
well.
Sort of inspirational.
You are amazing.
You are amazing.
You don't know you
are a beautiful woman. And they're all focused towards women. Weird men of TikTok. I may become one day.
I don't know this man, and I'm going to keep it that way. but I do know Unai Emery, and he is now finally talking about Aston Villa as contenders for Champions League qualification for next season.
A thing that's been lost amongst this weekend, actually, is if you take it in isolation, the ding-dong between Spurs and Villa has been fantastic this season.
Yeah, it's
they
been
keep
good.
Sort of swapping places, and one of them blinks, and then the other one does as well. And it's really difficult to know who's going to finish fourth or fifth. Yeah, well,
I mean, I was looking at the when Newcastle beat Spurs, which will come on obviously too. Mm. I was like, oh yeah, well, maybe we'll get closer to like 10 points behind. I was like, God, that's a big old gap, isn't it?
Indeed, yeah. Well, I mean, it's very much between the two sides. Yeah. Who will finish fourth, of course. And Ollie Watkins, 19 goals for this season. Mm. Second behind Erling Haaland, of course.
Arsenal supporter, so can you trust a snake like that on a plane?
That's true. That's true.
That's a great return.
Emi Martinez said he should be player of the season. He's got to be up there in the conversation. I mean, I know a lot of people would have Phil Foden, Declan Rice. And there's others, of course. But
maybe he just meant Villa.
Aston Villa player of the season, yeah. It'd be harsh if he didn't get that.
Yeah, Martinez did say, I still love Arsenal. I came here as a young lad and left as a man. I didn't want to see the sign language for that. Like, what he's got in his hand, what he's waving around, what he's humping.
Yeah. He loves it, doesn't he? He absolutely loves it. Jim, we've often said that when players leave Tottenham Hotspur, they go on to win trophies.
Yeah.
You can count them. There's a fair few. Has that role now reversed? Harry Kane left Spurs. He's in trouble of not winning a trophy. Granit Xhaka left Arsenal. He's won the Bundesliga.
It's delightful.
It is incredible.
Lovely,
isn't it?
Story.
A big part of the Bayer Leverkusen side who have been phenomenal this season in the Bundesliga. Everybody knows this. They beat Werder Bremen 5-0 to win their first ever Bundesliga. Big Granit scored in the 5-0 win. And he is now, without a doubt, a Bayer Leverkusen legend, because that team will be... There will be plaques made of this team in Bayer Leverkusen. The first time they've ever won the title, the way they've done it. And it's glorious, lest we forget. Not that long ago, he was being booed off the pitch at the Emirates.
Feels a long time ago now.
I know, obviously, the Arsenal and fans and him, you know, rekindled their love for each other, so I don't want to be disrespectful to anybody or anything like that. But winning the league with five games to go.
I'm not surprised that he's getting his flowers, because, I mean, he sort of leads the league for touches and various other sort of impressive metrics. He's been all action. And that was how he played in the last two seasons at Arsenal in particular, after he sort of shifted his position. And I'm delighted for him, but also just for Leverkusen as well. It's not like this is a team full of, you know, huge superstars, is it? There's a lot of like really surprising players in there. Like Nathan Teller as well. What a story there. Mm-hmm. Coming over from Southampton and making a contribution to this historic team. It is a beautiful thing to behold, and they've won it in such style. Mm. And to, you know, it took a while, didn't it, for them to really press home their advantage. But in the end, they won 5-0. And that sense of release and relief at the end is decades in the making.
Oh, my God.
Zidane sort of won a lot of stuff very early on into his managerial career. Just like, bang, he had a Champions League or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, Alonso, this, bearing in mind that where that team were when he picked them up.
Fighting relegation.
This has to be one of the great managerial performances. Yeah.
And it's one of the things...
It's Roy Keane at Sunderland.
There was a shot where Xabi Alonso was celebrating. He had his hands up and his shirt and his jumper was lifted up over his sort of belly button. And beautiful, oh my God, beautiful. That little line. Oh, you get towards the pubis. Hello, yes please.
Sculpted. How does he find time to work out?
I know.
Like, managers are... managing their football club or sleeping. Mm. Is he sleep exercising?
I have no idea. But he could still do a job.
Healthy body,
but
healthy
he doesn't
mind.
Need to, because he's doing the other job really, really well.
So well.
Unbelievable stuff. All right, coming up in the second half, we've got Newcastle hammering Spurs, Manchester United failing to impress again, and a tale of frozen milk. See you in a moment.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
By the way, from somebody who suffers with tinnitus, I wasn't making light of that condition.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, it's a nightmare. I've got a lot of problems with my ears.
Pardon?
Walked into that one.
Well, back to the football ramble. Neil Lennon on Five Live there. Bit
just
of banter.
Reading
the
room.
Thanks to friend of the ramble, Jam Hands. There he is again for sending us that clip. You can become a friend of the ramble too by heading over to patreon.com/footballramble. You'll also get access to the Discord where you can chat with us and other ramble listeners and get ad-free episodes of the ramble up front and on the continent. Patrons on the Discord pointed out that blimp was the word of the day on Wordle yesterday.
Oh, does anyone still play Wordle? I've given up. I fell out with my dad, so we don't do Wordle on our WhatsApp group anymore.
Not now, Peter. click the link in the show description.
I miss you, Wordle.
Not dad.
Can we get into this on Wednesday? I think it's a ramble uncut conversation. Whereas, Jim, I feel that this needs to be brought to the ramble public's attention. Mm. I got a text message from a friend of mine called John. And this is a call to arms. There's somebody out there, I think. Well, I'll let you be the judge. Right. I'll let you be the judge. I've got this text that I'm going to read out verbatim verbatim. Today, sat in a well-known Brentford restaurant, I overheard a mother calling their slightly naughty child. It didn't really sink in until the second or third shout, but the child was called Speller.
Yes.
Yeah. The kid kept running around and kept being called back. Speller, Speller, Speller. On the last go, I made eye contact with the mum who smiled. I saw my chance. Speller, that's an unusual name, I said. Thanks, she said, assuming I was complimenting her. The mother said, he's named after some guy my husband likes. Oh, really? Who's that? I don't know. Some bloke. And I just wondered.
Wow.
What is happening here?
Was there a speller from Big Brother back in the day?
Oh, stop it.
Come on. Famous spellers.
Let's have a look. I mean, there's not many.
I'm trying to think.
It's a rare name.
Wizbit. He was a famous Wizbit. Speller, wasn't he? Oh, that was that back in the day. There was like little monster on BBC Two.
You're going to these lengths to deny me.
I've Googled Speller Big Brother. There's nothing. I think you are the leading candidate here.
Leading Speller.
So I guess we're putting out not a call to arms. I think a call to arms is wrong.
Right. Yeah.
Have you done your familial empire dirty by calling your son or daughter Speller?
If you're in the Brentford area.
Yeah.
Or in fact, are there any other spellers out there?
Yeah.
It's a generation of us. I don't know.
Fascinating. But,
genuinely fascinating.
Worrying.
Right, let's go to something that we can all get our heads around. Newcastle United 4, Tottenham Hotspur 0. It's happened again!
It's happened again, mother!
Oh dear. When there was those two quick goals scored, I thought, here we go.
Rubber the hands.
Oh, Pete Donaldson, what a lovely time you had.
I didn't. And we laboured to a 1-0 win.
And you thought
your
Spurs were going to win.
And I did because we laboured to a 1-0 win against your lot. But Van der Ven, like, he just had his little bit of carpet out. He was doing break dancing.
Brilliant. Remember when we were talking about the chaos? His dad's a detective or something?
Yeah.
And he said his dad told him to embrace the chaos.
Yeah.
Of everything around you.
Yeah,
not that much spinning around on his face.
Well, he's more like a chalk outline on the floor, wasn't he?
it was. And that wasn't vanishing spray.
Really surprising performance from Spurs. Obviously, you've got to give Newcastle their credit as well. But obviously, in a game that one-sided, there's always an element of the opponent
Jim, isn't that surprising?
Well.
Each of Tottenham's past three Premier League defeats by 4-plus goals have all come against Newcastle at St James's Park.
Yeah, that's... None of those were under Postecoglou, obviously. He's changed a lot of the culture of the club and a lot of the style of the
badge
way they play.
Remains, Jim.
Indeed, yeah. Maybe the badge conceded four. I'm very surprised by it.
Can I say that Alexander Isak
He's a rich vein of form. Mm. He is a cold finisher when he wants to.
Yeah,
be.
Absolutely.
And that stare he's got. Mm. If you were in the Wild Wild West, and someone said, you know, you're gonna have a shootout.
Yeah.
And you looked up and you saw him staring at you. You'd be like, I'm dead.
Yeah,
just shoot me now.
He's
possibly Sweden's longest man, isn't he? And that's part of it. Because Ibrahimovic, but his legs are so long.
Yeah.
He just eats up grass.
Yeah.
Like a long cow bearing down on your goal.
Henry-esque, Jim? With his finishing?
A little bit of Henry in there, I think. Yeah. He had very long legs as well. Yeah. Still has very long legs, as far as I know.
You do shrink.
He will shrink for a while.
Do you shrink from me back? He's going to look really weird when he's older.
Yeah.
Short little back, long legs.
And maybe one leg will shrink. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. Kid daddy long legs.
They call him the Haggis. but yeah, it's a great win for you. And Isak, he's in fine form. Him and Gordon are just absolute dynamite.
They're very top heavy that side, but I'm loving that.
Yeah.
Absolutely loving it.
I mean, Anthony Gordon's had it. I mean, sort of, you know, I doubt he'll get a mention due to, you know, maybe big team bias and all that kind of stuff. But Anthony Gordon, for player of the season, in the Premier League.
He's really up there.
I don't think I would have him winning it, but I think at least the briefest of mentions. You know,
right, Martinez.
Yeah. he's done what he's been brought in to do, isn't he? Because he was very impressive at Everton and he really caught the eye. Mm. But I think Newcastle were hoping...
Is it fair he got out while the going was good?
He sure did.
Or while the going was not that terrible.
But I think there was a sense from Newcastle, and part of the reason they spent the money on him was this is an improving player, like a rapidly improving player who can come in and make a significant contribution if he continues his trajectory. And he's done that.
Yeah.
He's fit that brief really, really well. I also think...
He's got a proper England career ahead of him.
Definitely. Yeah. Absolutely. And they looked a bit like the Newcastle of last season, really, didn't they? Mm. Not just because of how, you know, efficient they were in front of goal. They looked really hard to play against.
Mm.
Like, they're just...
Physical,
just big bastard,
all that, you know.
Bruno Guimaraes isn't that tall, but he is a big bastard somehow.
Yeah. He was seen counting the score on his fingers to Giovanni Lo Celso.
Yeah, he went 1-2-4. He didn't do 3 for some reason.
Why?
What's he got against Isaac?
Easier
second.
With the hand, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
no, but, yeah, but
maybe not.
No,
but
he didn't do thumb. He didn't do thumb.
He didn't do thumb.
No, he just went 1-2-3-4. He just went 1-2-3-1-2-4.
You want to check the thumb again?
All right, I'll check the thumb again.
Yeah, have a little check.
All right, I'll check
see if
the
he
thumb
did that. Because a lot of people around the world, they do the thumb as one.
Right.
You
okay.
See? You know.
Or maybe I just
thinking glorious
the thumb.
Bastards without giving anything away.
Fine.
But Isak, 17 goals in 24.
No, he moved the thumb in. He had the thumb out, then he moved the thumb in to do the two. So he started with one.
Yeah.
Then when he got to two, he moved the thumb in, removing one from the field of play, and then he went to four.
Did he?
I didn't see the game. Was there a disallowed goal? Was it actually really clever?
Well, I mean, he managed to avoid the yellow card pratfall, didn't he?
He did.
It's just sad, really. I was hoping to see that narrative come to fruition.
Yeah, indeed. Before the game, Rio Ferdinand said the word shit on TNT Sports.
He was being interviewed by Jules, though.
Not Bill Grundy.
You know what she's like.
Was he being interviewed by Bill Grundy?
He's probably just picked up bad habits from her.
Yeah, exactly.
Go on, Rio, say something outrageous.
Yeah, I was about to say, don't tell people that, but then they can just listen back to old references of Ramble and just hear
Crouchy was giggling away.
He will do. That's what he's there for, isn't he?
He just has a little giggle, doesn't he?
Yeah,
and he also makes the dynamic between him and Jules hilarious.
Yeah. great win for Newcastle, though, nonetheless.
It was fantastic. The interesting quirk in that match was that Lewis Hall... because of that match taking place, is now locked down.
Oh, yeah.
He signed on loan, right, with a full move for like 25 million or something, if Newcastle came 15th or above in the Premier League. And that, mathematically, that match, even though Lewis Hall was stuck on the bench and he didn't play, that's what on the bench means. He's locked down to a Newcastle contract now, I think.
Good day for Chelsea.
Great day.
They get
Chelsea.
Some money for him. So I was very impressed with Lewis Hall last season in the sort of fleeting cameos I saw him make for Chelsea. I thought that was quite a good signing. Have you enjoyed what you've seen of him?
In flashes. I think the managerial setup. I think they just want to sort of introduce him a little bit slower, which is probably not exactly music to Lewis Hall's ears. But I think they're going to kind of slowly sort of bed him in at the start of next season. I think properly.
Lovely. Lovely. Well, Newcastle are in pole position to finish sixth.
Because they are.
Manchester United drew against Bournemouth 2-2. They end the week in seventh. Entertaining game on the South Coast. Bournemouth maybe feel a little bit aggrieved with regards to penalties and whatnot. Jim, what did you make of this one?
Bruno Fernandes' first goal was great.
Yeah.
And sort of got lost among the noise of the weekend a little bit.
I know,
really, really like impressive footwork.
It was as if it was the way he sorted his feet out. I mean, obviously he's going to score if you've bought 6 yards out and you've got a free volley, but it was just like, just get in, piss off.
Yeah.
You know,
but it was like an adult tidying up, wasn't it? But yeah, I mean, what do you think about the penalty?
The Manchester United one.
The Man United one.
I can see why it's given.
He's got a lot of time to stop that happening.
Yeah,
right?
I agree. I think that a lot of people felt aggrieved by this, Bournemouth in particular.
Yeah.
And a lot of people disagree with it. You can't be that surprised that's given, I personally think.
Yeah, people say he moves his hand towards the ball. I actually think he moves his arm out of the way and then sort of maybe instinctively reacts again somehow and it hits him. Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised that you think that because you're not a supporter of one of the big six cartel clubs.
Yeah.
Because we got the old corruption lockdown. That was always going to be given for one of us, our lot.
Man United are in seventh.
True.
You know,
as
it was put to Erik ten Hag, that seventh
pre-storming out.
seventh would be Manchester United's lowest ever Premier League finish. Now, did he storm out of this interview? Much has been made of this because, to me, he answers the question that's before that, which would be ultimately the penultimate question, and he looks like he goes to get up as if to say, "Right, I think we're done." And then he's asked about this, and he's like, "Oh, I'm not interested," and walks out. So the idea he stormed out after
but
being
if
asked,
"If I just do this now." Because at some point I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
Like it
tells its own story.
It becomes a storming out, doesn't it? Whether he's getting ready to leave or not, there's still an element of professionalism that needs to take place.
Storming out, I think, because the storm.
So you've got to stomp your feet.
Exactly. The storm element has to be you're angry. Whereas I just think he was just like, "Boy, I've had enough of this."
He gusted out.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it was a gale. He galed out the room. Yeah, I don't think
he wafted out the room. Typical Manchester United performance. Wafting out of the room.
Everything they're doing is entertaining. We have to keep the status quo.
Yeah,
it's brilliant. I absolutely love it. What do you think of Garnacho being subbed at half time?
Yeah, he's been a difference maker, isn't he? So I can understand why Garnacho himself was probably a bit miffed.
Well, Garnacho does. Because he was caught liking your friend of mine, Mark Goldbridge's tweet, which criticised Ten Hag and accused him of throwing Garnacho under the bus.
I think he should be reprimanded for that. Not like liking the tweet, just following him.
Well, we're not sure if he follows him.
Right.
You know, but he did endorse him somewhat. Poor old Garnacho, who's been one of the better players, you would certainly argue. Yeah. What about Casemiro? Jamie Redknapp accused him of looking like he was playing in Soccer Aid. And Jamie Redknapp knows because he's contributed very well to Soccer Aid, of course.
He's in a Skechers advert. Yeah. Oh, I do like those Skechers where you can just you don't have to use a shoehorn or anything.
Do you get into that age, are you, where Skechers are?
I use a shoehorn to get my trainers on, and I just putting your feet right in your trainers like that. Amazing. Uh-huh.
You can just jump
what
in.
What an invention. Why doesn't all shoes have that?
Off the top bunk, into the trainers. The rest of the day
you don't
your own.
Wear trainers very often, do you, Pete? This is the world you're missing out on.
No, I just want to get... But I can't bring myself to wear Skechers because I just think it's...
Works for Harry Kane.
You've gone to seed.
Gone to seed. Well, yeah, I mean, Casemiro, though.
Yes.
He is gasping.
£70 million.
Gasping for the off-season, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's 32.
Yeah,
give him a rest.
Old.
Yeah, it's not that old, is it?
It really isn't.
This whole kind of situation makes it seem like he's like 35, 36 and just like sort of, you know, spluttering to the end of his career.
But even if he was 35 or 36, like it's still like this is... Is he injured or something? Like, there's something.
Maybe
here.
There are times, you know, when it's older gentlemen where you're on a run or you're on a treadmill and suddenly your body goes nope, take that down, take that speed down. It feels like that's what's happening to him.
Is it just because? I mean, does Ten Hag not trust anybody in that role? Do they not have anybody who's capable in that role? I don't know, but I feel sorry
for. Killed a lot of careers, hasn't it?
Yes, I don't. It's
maybe if they ask him questions in training, he just sort of wafts out.
Yeah.
In a fury.
They
don't know what to do.
I mean, I understand that.
Like a leaf.
Some players, you know, when they're playing for arguably the biggest side or one of the biggest sides in the world in Real Madrid, and I don't know, Manchester United say, hey, but I'm, you know, come on, recent years, you know, in success and so on. You know, puts an enormous shift in for them, wins many trophies and so on. Manchester United can't be seen as a kind of, I'll just play my, I'll take it easy and, put in the odd performance here and there. It has to be different. The amount of money they spent on him and so on and so forth. I know Varane came from Real Madrid, and Varane was regarded as one of the best centre-halves in the world. And since being at Manchester United, you wouldn't put him up in that bracket. I think he's been terrible or anything, but, you know, perhaps a bit of a drop-off. Is it just such a basket case of a club that this happens? But then I don't think you can blame the surrounding of Manchester United for Casemiro's perceived lack of effort. Yeah. And you wouldn't say he was that type of player. He's old enough and experienced enough to know that that's a piss-poor shift. I'm just wondering, is there something physically limiting
him? Yeah, I think it has to be a fitness issue. He's too experienced a player, too good a player to you know... If he can run, he absolutely will be. Surely there's something, some energy conservation thing happening there.
It is odd, and I just wonder if he's playing quite clearly at 75%, maybe not even that at times, but Ten Hag thinks, I can't trust anybody else to do that role. You know, we'll get hammered, etc. Like, if you think it's chaotic now. But surely you've got to have another player. You've got to have something.
He's been tasked with, like, just getting possession back quite high up in the field, and I think at that age it's a difficult job to...
He's a year older than Granit Xhaka, for crying out loud.
Yeah, but he looks... I keep on talking about his big face. He looks like Cristiano Ronaldo at 43 getting a lot of Botox. And that's where Ronaldo will end up. I just know that.
Yeah, but he'll still be ridiculously fit, Cristiano Ronaldo.
He will be, yeah.
Playing in the Saudi third tier or something. I don't know. I don't know. But
he might get those ab implants. You know, like that paparazzi bloke got.
Mr. Paparazzi,
wasn't
it?
Mr. Paparazzi. Yeah, Darren Lyons, I think his name was. He got like silicone abs put into his stomach. So he gets mentioned
quite a lot on this show, weirdly.
Yeah.
Because
he's always in your bins, isn't he?
He's not seeing what I'm up to.
You just eat what you want then. And the silicone takes care of it.
Got a six pack.
Got a six pack, guys.
It's like sticking way out. It'd be really weird. it's like the tip of the stomach.
Well, like a nobbledy crocodile.
Pete, no doubt you know someone who can sort us out there. Mm. Let's all get down and do that. Right, well, it was a much better weekend for the women's side of Manchester United as they beat Chelsea in the semi-final of the FA Cup. It was a dramatic game and a huge upset in Emma Hayes' chase for a treble to end her time at Chelsea, just like Jurgen Klopp, of course. You can hear all the reaction to that on tomorrow's Up Front with Chloe and Rachel. It promises to be a cracking listen. And, of course, it was great for Tottenham Hotspur as well. Their ladies' team won. Right, some promotion chat. Portsmouth were made to wait for their return to the Championship.
Portsmouth, put that milk back in the freezer.
Yes, they needed to beat Bolton on Saturday to seal promotion, but could only manage a 1-1 draw. Now, on Friday, a Portsmouth fan tweeted a story about their granddad who throw some milk, a whole carton of milk, and a big carton of milk at that, in 2008 because it went out of date when Portsmouth won the FA Cup. 2008.
I had some really old kale from the freezer yesterday.
Right.
Directly out of it? Or did you thaw it?
I cooked it. And I think that we can freeze things forever.
You do like a frozen sausage, don't you?
I do like a frozen sausage, yeah. But I think we can freeze things. I don't think we need to worry about the frozen sausage?
Yeah.
No, back in the day, remember when I was a kid, I used to eat frozen sausages like a lollipop. A meaty lollipop. But I think we can freeze things.
I wish
forever.
The listeners could have seen Jim's reaction to that.
But I quite like
Jim likes a frozen double decker.
I love a frozen double decker. Watch your teeth and then you're away.
It would be very interesting to see if Lukey Moore, who is obviously a big Pompey fan, but he's also a big milky tea fan.
He is.
Yes.
He would make his tea milkshakes with the forbidden orange milk of this granddad's FA Cup winning milky treat.
Yeah. Well, I think he should put his milk where his mouth is.
I'm gutted for him.
Yeah, well, apparently
he's gone too early, but I understand why he's done it.
Apparently the granddad unfroze it last week in the hope he could drink it to celebrate Portsmouth promotion.
Well, he's a granddad. Don't do it then.
I don't understand why he went that early.
Yeah.
Surely you could unfreeze it
in half an hour, put it in a bowl of water.
But you can't refreeze it though, can you? So you've got to time it so that it's...
Because he's a man who seems to be a stickler for storage, isn't he?
Yeah,
storage of milk.
I mean, it is absolutely good. Because, like, why on earth is he going so early with that?
Did you speaking of getting in the Championship? Did you see Marcus that the Boilerman West Brom mascot has been kicked out?
No, I didn't see that.
No more Boilerman. Do you remember the West Brom mascot? I can't remember his
combi
name.
Combi Boiler, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's a dancing combi boiler.
Yes, I do remember.
He was. I think he tweeted out. As many of you have noticed, the mascot has not been out for a while now, and this is something that's been completely out of my control, and I'm unable to comment on the reasons why.
We need to go
deep diving on the Boilerman story.
It seems an apt metaphor for the energy crisis.
It is. Yeah, there's not enough gas to cook me.
Yeah, I should say that Portsmouth are playing tomorrow night.
I think the milk's gone bad by then, though.
I mean, strange. Looking at the colour of it, it's gone bad.
My advice to the granddad, if Portsmouth do clinch promotion tomorrow night, is drink it.
Drink it.
Get
in.
It down.
Drink
you can't hear that much harm. It's 2008. It wasn't that long ago. For
go to A&E, though. Yeah. Go to A&E, drink it there.
Yeah.
And then if you're fine, great. If you're not, you're in the right place. What are you in for? I'm going to drink this now.
Can I...
I hope nothing happens to him.
Marcus, before we move on, can I stick in a little bit of mascot chat? Because we obviously spoke about the boiler man.
Yes, yeah. Only moments ago. Go on.
Got an email from Dinny Outdoors. What a complete waste of my time, Ollie, as I've been listening to The Ramble. Do your research comes to mind.
Oh.
You lot made a very unfair and degrading comment about the state of Wolves mascot on the recent pod. Have seen better days and could do with a hot wash. Donaldson is a disgrace to football. Wolfie and Wendy both got a 2024 makeover, having spent the last while raising their cub Wilfred. Being new parents can be tough, and yes, they were looking a bit tired, but so would you insensitive toss. Please issue a retraction and an apology. Regards, loyal Wolves fan and former Ramble listener.
Don't back down.
I'm not backing down. I'm double dooning.
Starting to understand Morgan Gibbs-White now.
Yeah, I mean, they look raggedy. It's because their fur looks like it's got sick on it anyway. I just think
you've not heard a word the man has just said.
Maybe it's baby sick.
It really annoys me when I have to come to Pete's defence.
Yeah.
Because I think to myself, I'm going to be indicted somehow.
Yeah.
But Pete's right, though. Like, if a baby does throw up on you...
It looks matted.
Yeah, if a baby does throw up on you, obviously that's bad. But, like, by the third day, you should have washed that off.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry. I think that they could have put themselves in the hot wash, as it would
steam
be.
Steam the mascot.
Somebody at that club, help them out.
Steam the wolf.
Get some disposable wet wipes there. Don't push them down the toilet. If you do that, you're a disgrace.
Bad week for mascots. At halftime, Gunnosaurus...
throw up.
Has Well, he, kids take penalties against him, and he saved a couple at the weekend.
Yeah.
Get out of the way! they buried the rebounds, but that's not the point.
Maybe he was trying to get out of the way, Jim. I don't know. We should end...
Like a comet. Couldn't miss that fucker, could you?
No, exactly. We should end with T. Wrexham getting promoted at the weekend.
Nice. Clever boy. Nice.
They beat Forest Green Rovers 6-0 on Saturday to achieve promotion to League One. That's how you do it, Pompey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a romantic story. Right, massive cash injections at that level.
Their second promotion in as many as... Yeah, but it's an actor.
It's a feel-good story.
It is,
yeah.
It's a couple of actors.
It's a feel-good story and you have to like it.
I have to like it. Yeah. And buy Aviation Gin.
Have you seen did you see the Wrexham documentary? You know, there was a lot of nice stuff on there. Much like the Newcastle one.
Yeah, similar, isn't it? Plucky underdogs.
What would you rather? Ryan Reynolds talking about Wrexham going round.
Definitely Ryan Reynolds.
Or Amanda Staveley.
Yeah.
What does she call everybody? Pet?
No, that would be too Georgie.
Angel, that's right.
Hello, Angel. How are you doing, Angel? Angel.
Again, has basically seen the Angel of the North. Yeah, fine.
That'll do.
Hello, Anthony. Enjoying. Did you see Anthony Gordon was playing with one of the club photographers' cameras?
Yes.
At the weekend. I watch a lot of camera YouTubing, and they have a certain amount of disposable income for buying lots of lenses. I do not want to see a celebrity footballer appetite and kind of resources being used on lenses, because he's just never going to stop. He's going to buy all the lenses.
They're very expensive, those lenses.
They certainly are.
They certainly are. Mm. Right, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Do join us on Wednesday, of course, where we'll be back with more of this kind of crap. Follow us on X, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble. And follow us on Spotify. You'd be a fool, quite frankly, not to. Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Clean your wolf.
Indeed.
If not you, who will?
And thank you, Wolverhampton Wanderers. See you on Wednesday.
You know, it might be because they've got felt tongues and they're not efficient for cleaning, because wolves would clean themselves,
dirty,
wouldn't they? Thinking
wolf.
About it. So if the tongues aren't up to it, then that'll be why they're a bit grimy.
Oh, dirty.
You dirty old rotter.
You dirty little wolf.
Dirty old wolf.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Mom. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.